are they freaking pissed off and downtrodden because the offense is doing nothing? Somewhere over the shrimp cocktail and the oysters. What is this guy, a moron?
Buccaneers fans, the Ira Kaufman podcast is here with the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks fan. Lee DeKemper of Joe Bucks fan is here. And these are just dangerous, sad times, Ira. Dangerous, sad times. Although everything's great and even better, the opposite of sad at Bill Curry Ford, where you can order a vehicle right now. No deposit, concierge assistance. You can do it online. You can go to the beautiful dealership. And Sean Sullivan, the GM, is going to give you $500 just to do it with every custom order. That's just that simple. No deposit, lifetime warranty on all the vehicles, lifetime warranty on used vehicles. They've got a new certified used vehicle program. You can read about everything, and it's all at BillCurryFord.com. That's the family name, Bill Curry, C-U-R-R-I-E, Ford.com, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. We've heard from Ira in last podcast. His son was shopping for a Bill Curry Ford truck and just bought one. So how about that? All the way from Ohio, he's coming in to eat all of your food, Ira, and then he'll drive the truck back. And the sage himself did the test drive. So you are an intimate over at Bill Curry Ford, Ira. And we thank Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. And I've got a feeling that a lot of Bucks fans, Ira, have been drinking a lot of beer. Get to your Big Storm Brewery tap rooms if you want to try all the beers. Otherwise, they're in the stores. Big Storm Beer is Florida's best craft beer. That's Big Storm Beer. We will be out at Big Storm on the Sunday of the Bucks game in Germany. 8:45 a.m. is when fans can get out there and get the menu going there for breakfast. Kickoff is at 9:30. Sean Sullivan himself will be out there if you want to negotiate a special deal for your Ford. He'll be out there. We got some other special guests. Bobby Fenton of the Free Stretch podcast and all kinds of people coming out, Ira. Going to be exciting times and fun times at Big Storm Brewery, their flagship tap room on 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road. Gorgeous outdoor covered seating. And then you've got the full indoor tap room. Great sound. It's going to be a great time, of course, filled with Bucks fans dedicated for that game on an early Sunday morning kickoff. We'll hear later more about Florida's Elite Restoration. Your first phone call if you have any disaster in your home or your business, fire, mold, flood, storm damage, whatever it is, Florida's Elite Restoration.com is there for you 24/7. Ira, man, the Bucks are 3-5. It's a nightmare. Tom Brady's lost 3 in a row. I think the last time he lost 3 in a row, you were you had just turned 55, I think, Ira. It's been a long time, like 20-something years. This is just a nightmare. Not even Tom Brady can resurrect the Bucks, and he's not hurt. And what did you think of that performance on Thursday Night Football, Ira?
What the hell was I thinking? What was I thinking? Supporting the Bucks, sticking with the Bucks, not abandoning the Bucks, picking them to beat, you know, a decent Ravens team. They're not elite, but they're decent. Harbaugh's a good coach. Lee, I didn't think they did anything special other than run the ball down the Bucks' gizzard. Their offensive coordinator, Lee, in the first half, I thought the guy should have been fired, Greg Roman. What is this guy, a moron? He's got Lamar Jackson throwing 30 balls. Has he seen the Bucks' rush defense? I didn't know what the hell that guy was looking at. Lamar Jackson's not a guy that throws 50 passes a game. So he completely overthunk it. I think if Roman knew what the hell he was doing in the first half, the Ravens might have won the game by 35 points. There's nothing to hold on to now if you're a Buck fan. There's nothing, Lee. They're doing nothing particularly well except kick field goals. That's it. Ryan Succop is having a hell of a season. I can't believe I'm saying that on a team led by Tom Brady. Lee, for the first time, and I can't believe I'm saying this, DeKemper. I just can't believe it. I think there's a good chance we're looking at 6-11. Lee, I mean, we can't discount it. Jack Barrett's gone. It was going to be tough with them. Here come the Rams. I don't know what they're going to do against the Niners Sunday, but, you know, they ain't going to be no pushover. And then the Bucks go to Munich, and And by that point, we got the bye week. Lee, if there's going to be some big changes, I think it'll happen after the Munich game. At this point, we cannot say this is not a 6-11 football team with Tom Brady being healthy. Lee, before I kick it over to you, I know this sounds crazy, but Brady to me looks like a guy who wouldn't mind a little bit of a knee bruise. And hey, he's out for the next 4 or 5 weeks. I don't think he'd mind it at this point, Lee.
Oh, well, I can't go there about Brady. That sound you just heard is me opening a Big Storm beer because I need it.
Where are you going to start, Lee? Where are you going to start?
Okay, first off, Greg Roman thought that was the perfect game plan. Bucks had a rookie third-day draft pick starting at corner, and Devin White, who still can't cover on pass defense. What did Roman do in the first half? He went after both those guys. Now, it didn't add up to points, but I thought that was perfect. Unlike freaking Byron Leftwich, Greg Roman and John Harbaugh sense where a weakness is, and they go after. Now, what's the Bucks' M.O.? In the second half, their rush defense sucks. In the second half, what they do in the second half? Pounded their ass. That's the difference in the Bucks and the Ravens, or the Bucks and most NFL teams right now. The Ravens have coaches who know what the hell they're doing. The Bucks have Byron Leftwich. If the Bucks wait until after Munich to make a quote-unquote big change, they may as well trade Tom Brady for draft picks. The season will be thoroughly lost at that point. Leftwich right now should not be employed. Todd Bowles screwed up in his Friday press conference by not announcing the world we have a new offensive coordinator. I don't know what he's waiting for unless they plan to play for draft picks. Byron Leftwich should not be employed by the Bucks right now. Do you see them beating Seattle? Pete Carroll, all these people, the offensive line. Well, guess what? Seattle sucks on the offensive line, but they got freaking coaches who know how to deal with it and know how to scheme guys open, know how to scheme running backs and get production. The Bucks have Byron Leftwich. The Bears have a horrible offensive line. There's no way in hell someone could look me in the face and say the Bucks have a worse offensive line than the Bears. The Bears get better production from their running backs than the Bucks do. Damn it, Byron Leftwich.
Isn't it fair to look at the talent on this roster and think maybe we've overstated it? Steve, maybe we've overstated it. Yeah, Mike Evans is a heck of a player. He might have a busting can. Godwin's good, used to be very good. Now he's just good. Tristan Wirfs is excellent. I don't know. I don't know what to say past that, Steve. Defensively, what do you got? I mean, Winfield's good. Levante David's good. I don't know, Steve. I mean, the talent, they've suffered some big losses. And what are all the losses, the departures, Steve, add up to? Physicality. Jensen, which is not Jason Light's fault. Guy got hurt.
Yeah.
Ndamukong Suh. Rob Gronkowski. Jordan Whitehead. Steve, these are all physical players. And right now, they're getting bullied, Steve, every week. Bullied.
I don't think we overvalue the roster, Ira. I really don't. I think it's mostly on the coaching and whatever's going on with the internal team leadership. And we have celebrated that in the past, Tom Brady and all this other stuff. It's not there, but I put a ton of it on the coaching because the talent isn't as bad as what we've seen. The team should be better. If you just go game by game, I mean, I understand what happened in the game against Baltimore, but you know, the Bucs had a lead. They jumped out. There's no reason why the offense had to go into the toilet after being up 10-0. And no reason for that whatsoever. Now, I'll give you on the talent front, I'll give you that Julio Jones has been a fail. I'll give you that Kyle Rudolph has been a fail. Even though he was open, Tom Brady missed him the other night. You know, I don't know what's going on with some of the stuff, but I don't think we're lacking talent. I mean, this team won a Super Bowl with Nunez Roaches starting 10 or 11 games for Vita Vea. they got a lot of the same players, Lavonnie David, Devin White. Who's got more talent at linebacker? For some reason, they're not coaching up Devin White. They haven't been able to motivate him. Todd Bowles acknowledged his third down loaf early in the third quarter. Don't tell me he was gassed. It was like third and nine, and he's out there looking horrible. We got it up by the video and a story at joebucksfan.com. They're soft, and I don't think it's a talent, Ira, which is why I still have hope. I don't think it's a 6-11 team. I think they will somehow, with Tom Brady, find a way to pull themselves out of this. And given the division and the motivation that the division will provide, when I say that, I mean, okay, if they can scratch their way to 5-7 and realize that, okay, if we win, we're playing a little better, and if we can win 9 against and close out and win this thing at the end of the year against Atlanta, we got a shot. I think they have the talent that's enough to do something. There's no evidence yet that they'll pull it together, but I haven't lost hope in what the team could become if they can straighten it out and get some of these guys healthy. And on the Sue front, he still only played half the snaps last year. I mean, there's got to be more than that. There were other guys who were tough last year that are just not playing as tough this year.
Lee, what the heck's going on with Devin White, Lee? What's going on?
You mean Quan Alexander's a second?
I'm going to have to talk to Derek Brooks next week and tell him he's got to take Devin White to dinner. Let him go to Burns. I don't care who pays. Take him to Burns.
As long as it's not you.
Exactly. As long as Ira's not picking up the tab.
Somewhere over the shrimp cocktail and the oysters, Brooks has to look into Devin White's eyes and say, get it together. You're not a professional. You're not getting better. You peaked in the 2020 postseason, which he did, Lee.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, he makes the Pro Bowl last year when he probably shouldn't have. And this year, after September, which I guess he was NFC Defensive Player of the Month in September, he's been terrible. He sticks out to me on the screen all the time in the wrong spot. He's in the wrong spot, Lee. He made a couple of plays in the early minutes. He got all excited. He's doing the bicycle. He's doing this. He's doing that. And the next thing I know, Gus Edwards is running right past him. Devin White's becoming a problem.
I'm going to back up something Steve said, then I'll touch upon Quan Alexander the second. You know, Steve was talking about coaching in the division. Ira, Artie Smith up in Atlanta, he's basically running an Era Parseghian 1960s offense, yeah. And he's getting better production than the Bucs. Think about that. Their offensive line is hideously bad, but he's finding a way.
I don't think it is hideously bad. I mean, the evidence says they're – I mean, we're talking about what we see on the field about the Bucs. If you look at the Falcons' offensive line, it's good. It's playing really well. It's good.
I just read something from Warren Sharp that vastly differs from what you just said. Vastly differs.
They do have an identity. I think that's what you get.
Yeah, they got like I said, they're running the Era Parseghian 1960s offense with a runaround quarterback who can't throw the ball, and they're getting better production than the Bucs. About Quan Alexander the second, Ira, do you think it's fair to say the coaches have lost him, or he's tuned out the coaches?
I think he's read his press clippings, Lee. You know, maybe we're partially responsible, but all we did was praise him when he played well. Lee, there's nothing wrong with that. I thought I might have been wrong about Devin White, Lee. I thought he was a guy that was driven, that wanted to be great, elite, and he's flattened out. You know, Lee, when they asked Todd Bowles about Devin White specifically, and I'm a little disappointed in Bowles' answer, and I said this to Steve a few minutes ago. What's wrong with saying that a guy's not playing well at the moment? What's wrong with that?
I guess they don't want to tick off the players, and if there's an issue about tuning the coach out, that might just send the guy over the edge. I'm guessing. I'm like you. I like the old school coaches. They say what they thought. You don't like it. As Whitey Herzog once said, go buy a dog.
Play better, Lee. Play better.
I like Whitey Herzog's line. You want a friend, buy a dog.
Well, here's some of the danger, Ira. You know, Bowles made it very clear. He was asked about, you know, the team not being able to put together a fourth quarter game and not having that fire and aggression all the way through like they showed early in the game. Bowles starts saying the mentality is there. The mentality is always there. I'm quoting. Then it's about playing fundamentally sound, not trying to press too much and doing the right thing when your number is called. Blah, blah, blah. It has nothing to do with the toughness. We know we have toughness. We just got to play smart for four quarters. 10 days ago, Ira, we talked about it on this podcast. He's on the Buccaneers radio network 10 days ago saying, quote, "We got to be tougher up front. We got to be tougher up front on both sides of the ball. Plain and simple. We were bad on third and short. Even third and inches, third and one, we got to find a way to get 1 yard. We got some tough guys, blah, blah, blah." But they're not doing it. When you're not going to be straight, you're going to have conflicting answers. The fans get pissed at that. The team hears the conflicted messages. They're soft. Nobody plays the Bucs and says, "Damn, they really punch you in the mouth."
You can't have it all the ways you want it, Lee. You can't. When Bowles was asked, Lee, this week, I think, or last week, about the third and ones, he went out of his way, Lee, to say it's not on Leonard Fournette. Remember that, Lee? It's not on Fournette. He's not doing anything wrong. There's no extra yards to be gotten, blah, blah, blah. And now he doesn't want to acknowledge that they're not tough up front on either side of the ball. You can't have it like that, Lee.
I agree. Yeah, he's playing both sides of the coin.
Let's talk a little bit about the number 12 elephant, Lee, Brady. Mm-hmm. And I don't care what his stats were and 325 yards. I don't care. And this could go to your left witch issue. Lee, how many 4 yard passes did we see? About 18, 20. Yeah. And then Lee, when he goes downfield, he gets a completion. He gets a flag. He gets freaking yardage when he takes some shots, but he doesn't take enough of them. I don't know if Brady doesn't want to get hit. He doesn't want this. He doesn't want that. Or it's not in the game plan. You got to throw those balls downfield. I don't care if it's Jalen Ramsey. Throw the freaking ball downfield.
Well, we've seen that Mike Evans can take care of himself with Jalen Ramsey.
That's right.
Steve, was it before the season or early in the season when Rappaport got on NFL Network and he said, "Tom Brady's got a little rotator cuff. I'm starting to wonder how little that is. And I will sort of give Byron Leftwich a break here, sort of, even though no matter how you spin it, it comes back to his ineptitude." We were all rightly, at least I was, rightly outraged that when the Bucs played the Steelers and the Steelers were playing with a bunch of practice squad dudes in the secondary, that Leftwich didn't attack. That Leftwich kept running and running and running. In retrospect, could it be that Brady's rotator cuff was flaring up? And that would give Leftwich the benefit of the doubt for 10 seconds. And what I mean by that is, if Brady's rotator cuff was bothering him that much that he couldn't throw downfield against a practice squad secondary, then why the hell wasn't Gabbard out there?
Fair question, Lee. I want to throw this out at Isbitz. He's always looking for angles here.
Well, hey, Sage, let me wait. you called Brady an elephant there, so let me address the Brady stuff.
All right, go ahead.
First, I'll say this. I don't buy the shoulder stuff, and if it's true, I don't care. It doesn't matter. He's out there. He's healthy. He's not on the injury report. And you know what? We watched Jameis Winston in 2017. There were rumors everywhere. Oh, second week of the season, he messed up his shoulder. He's out there. Who cares? Play football. Every week, Jameis, as well as Tom Brady, Jameis 2017, but Tom Brady now, is throwing balls on the money, deep, intermediate, throwing lasers into windows. He hasn't been as consistent as he's been in previous years, but he's
that's what I mean.
He's on the money, and I don't buy anything about the injury stuff, and I don't care. I mean, Brady's smart enough to understand the game and work with Leftwich as to what is going to work, but I don't see any evidence that the guy can't throw the ball, so I can't even touch it. And whether it's true, we find out at the end of the season, just like in 2020, we found out he had a bad knee all year and had needed major surgery. I don't care. He's out there. You got to play.
That knee injury still freaks out Mike Florio.
The thing that upsets me about Brady is that, or scares me, is that he hasn't been able to figure this out with Leftwich together, figuring out how to get the offense going and what's going to work. I mean, they've had plenty of film to watch, and he just can't seem to figure it out. I mean, the red zone, the lack of discipline, it's terrible with the penalties and everything else. Leonard Fournette hasn't been the same guy since week one. That's fact. That we can see on film. Yep. Not the same guy. And we heard him say after the Saints game, "I played it on one leg," and he just hasn't been right. But also, I don't care. You know, you got to get the yardage, and if not, get off the field. And that's a combination of the player and the coach needing to communicate and be all over it. If Keyshawn Vaughn can't get one carry this season after being their leading rusher in the playoffs against the Eagles with a good defense, then why is he even on the roster? I don't even understand that at this point. The Brady thing, Ira, he's not playing great football, but he's playing well enough, in my opinion, that they could easily be a better team, which is why I have some hope going forward. I don't think he's like, oh, Brady's shot and this team can't win. They just got a lot to figure out in a hurry.
I want to dispute a misconception out there.
So do I, Sage, and it has to do with restoration companies because they are not all the same. Florida's Elite Restoration is locally owned. Owner Josh Martin has 14 years experience in the industry as an insurance adjuster. Now he's on the other side for many years helping homeowners and businesses get what's theirs when it comes to recovering after a loss from storm damage, mold, fire, whatever it is, flood in your home, which is so common. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. They are there for you 24/7. You can call them up and they're going to come out and give you a free assessment of what's happening in your home so you know how to proceed, be it with insurance or just paying cash to repair and restore what happened to your property. Florida's Elite Restoration, Sage, they've got $500 for your listeners. Just mention Joe Bucks Fan or Ira Kaufman before you agree to a contract with them, an agreement to go ahead and do work after you get your free assessment. And you're going to get $500 back, either money you can use toward your deductible or just cash back. Florida's Elite Restoration, we've talked about them for a long time. Keep them in your phone. Put them in your favorites in your browser. That's your first phone call. Whenever you have a problem, they're honest. They're straightforward. They are endorsed by the Sage, Florida's EliteRestoration.com.
There is a perception. I think it's false. I've been saying it all year long. And I'm going to continue to say it, Lee. Maybe I'm watching a different game than you two. But I'm going to say it again, DeKemper. The protection has been good. It's not been awful, no. And for people that say, well, wait a minute, he got hit six times. Lee, the guy's throwing 40 or 50 balls. Who cares? You're going to get hit. Have you watched these other teams? Ask Patrick Mahomes if he's got a clean pocket, you know, 70% of the time. He does not. Ask these people. They're running for their lives. Brady's not running for his life. I don't understand this thing about blaming the left guard and this guy about the protection. First of all, Wirfs is killing people. I mean, I'm watching Wirfs all the time. He takes that one step back. They try to go around him. You know, they're in a concession stand by the time the play ends. I mean, this is unbelievable what Wirfs is doing out there.
He's excellent. I've learned, Ira, some years ago, there is a major, major disconnect when it comes to fans and the offensive line. I've heard Phil Simms talk about it. I've come to believe that unless there's five pancake blocks on a play, people will scream they can't block. I'm convinced of that. I really am.
Steve, I just don't understand this perception that Brady's under siege. I think it's complete nonsense.
Look, the pass blocking isn't what it was, but on an NFL scale, it is pretty good. You're absolutely right. I'll point out, as far as Brady and potential injury, at the end of the first half, Brady took a sack intentionally. Okay, they were stalled at the end of the first half. The Ravens were going to get the ball back. He rolled out to the right. He could have thrown it away. He could have thrown it in the dirt. He had nothing open. He intentionally ate a sack because he knew it would force the Ravens to call a timeout. It's clear as bell if you watch the play over and over again. So a guy who's really hurting doesn't intentionally take a sack strategically. And late in the game, he took a brutal late hit. I think it was Justin Houston, and they got a 15-yard penalty. He just got right up, no problem. You know, his arm seemed fine. I'm not saying that he doesn't have anything wrong with him, but I don't think injury is anything that anybody can say about Brady as a problem for this season.
One more point to back up what I'm saying about the protection. Lee, I believe there was a late sack that was clearly a coverage sack, and I'm not blaming the O-line on that one.
Just on the O-line, Ira, just to mention it, you know, Nick Leverett filled in as a starter, and his name wasn't called all night by any stretch of the imagination. And the Bucs threw the ball 40-something times. You know, I thought he played pretty well. You know, the line isn't great, and they can't run the ball, but I thought he did pretty well.
Lee, this is bugging me, and it's really it's really causing a lot of agita for Buck fans, and I understand why on the defense. So let's go over this for a moment. The first two games, outstanding from start to finish. Outstanding. The third game, not very good at the start, and then shut down Aaron Rodgers. They lost the game anyway because they scored 12 points, but very strong in the second half. And then, Lee, since then, the Chiefs, they were terrible the whole game. No difference, first half, second half. Terrible defense. Awful. And then, Lee, starting with the fourth quarter against the Falcons, Lee, the second half defense, as you articulated, has been awful.
Yeah.
Awful. You got Pittsburgh, you know, Trubisky making third and 16 passes. Same thing at Carolina, second half defense, terrible. I'm thinking about it, Lee. Are they getting worn down physically because they're on the field too much because Brady and company keep going three and out? Or, which I think is equally plausible, are they freaking pissed off and downtrodden because the offense is doing nothing? Absolutely nothing. Now, Lee, the answer, if it's B, is unacceptable. Lee, because the 99 bucks, you know, with the great defense, they didn't care what Sean King was doing. Just don't screw the game up. We'll win the game. This defense isn't thinking like that, Lee. So, Lee, is it a combination? What is going on in the final 30 minutes?
Well, it easily could be a combination. The second element, that the defense is hacked off at the offense, you'll never get anybody to admit it until, you know, you get a couple drinks in them after the season, someone might admit it. But That doesn't excuse Quan Alexander II playing like garbage. But I thought of Steve in this particular instance. Two straight drives that Baltimore had, they were gouging the Bucs terribly in the second half. Both times I checked, no vita vea.
Why
that is, I don't know. But no vita vea, he wasn't on the field. You know, I get your rear end out there. You're a professional. They need you. They need a stop. Go out there and do your job. I just, you know what it boils down to? The whole team, I think this boils down. You use one simple phrase. Poor discipline.
Man, I'm telling you. Steve, what's going on with the second half defense, Stevie?
I'm sorry. I was just busy at BillCurryFord.com looking at vehicles, trying to look for a truck that I could put all my belongings in and drive out of town for a while. It's embarrassing. Sage, a couple of things. First, on the offense, which is what's most broken, or Mike Evans, under the radar, it was his fourth consecutive game without catching a touchdown. Now, in the Tom Brady era, including playoffs, he had never gone more than two games without catching a touchdown. That's how striking this is, and he's healthy. And he's had good games the last two games. Richard Sherman was screaming on the Amazon post-game show. It was a good argument going on between him and Ryan Fitzpatrick. Those ex-Bucks always find their way into the media. Richard Sherman's like, they just pound the damn ball to Mike Evans. You know, just even if it's not there, just let him work it. Let him go with the 50-50 ball and pound him the ball. It's an effective and smart strategy. And Ryan Fitzpatrick is like, Tom Brady's never going to throw the ball when a guy's not open for the sake of pounding him the ball. And Sherman's like, well, he's got to. You got to wake up, man. This is Mike Evans, and this is their best option. And yeah, he's gotten his share of targets, but for him to not have a touchdown and for them to not lean on him in these crisis times even more, what does that tell you?
You know, I was thinking while you were saying that, Lee, how many times in the last previous 2 years did we see Brady throw balls to Gronk when he wasn't necessarily open, knowing that Gronkowski is going to outmuscle the guy and come down with the ball or it'll be incomplete? Why can't he do it with Mike Evans, Lee?
Well, you've been screaming that for years, rightly so, about Mike Evans. And in 2019, if I recall correctly, maybe it was 2018, Evans led the NFL in drawing personal or pass interference calls. And 2019, he was third, I believe, in the NFL in drawing pass interference flags. So, I mean, you've been screaming that for years. You're absolutely correct on that. And I don't see an issue with that unless Brady's a perfectionist, and he doesn't want to throw
contested passes.
He doesn't want to throw contested passes, and that very well could be true.
Steve, in New England, Brady didn't have a guy like Mike Evans except when he had
Randy Moss.
Yeah, Randy Moss. But, I mean, you know, guys like Edelman and Welker, they're not like Mike Evans. They're a different type of receiver. You know, you got to take advantage of Evans. Steve, we call him a touchdown machine. He's a touchdown machine. You got to let him do it.
Early in the season when the defense was great, really, in the first two games, and that's not an overstatement, they had Logan Ryan back there with Winfield and Mike Edwards, and all those guys were interchangeable. Todd Bowles got to be disguised mastermind, and they're super smart players, and he got to use them. And Logan Ryan being gone is hurt, and Winfield now has been out, and they're suffering because of that. Rondé Barber, Ira, was sat down for the Buccaneers Radio Network, and I knew it was going to be boring, but he was going to drop a couple of gems. And he called, and he emphasized this, Ira. He called Antoine Winfield Jr., quote, the best tackling safety I've ever seen. And then he went on to emphasize, and he meant, and I mean that, in the history of football, and that he's their best player on the field. You know, maybe that's part of a fix here. Maybe his energy, his ability to tackle, and Todd Bowles talked this week about how they lost their best tackler there with Winfield out. Maybe that's something that sparks the team, or is that too much to ask of Winfield?
Well, I don't dispute, Lee, that he's a form tackler, a hell of a tackler. There's no question about it. And a heck of a player. I mean, that was a great draft pick by Jason Light. Other teams could have grabbed him. They didn't. They're going to regret it. I mean, he's getting better all the time. So, yeah, Winfield makes a difference in terms of tackling. And this is not a particularly good tackling team. You know, Levante David's good. Devin White, we're not even going to go there, right, Lee, in terms of tackling for him. We're not going there.
Unless you call trying to grab a guy's shoulder pads good tackling. I don't.
It was going to be hard enough to turn this thing around. Steve hasn't given up on him. He still thinks after the bye week they can close with a rush. Lee, now Shaq Barrett's not there. And I know Bowles is supposed to be a wizard. He's a defensive this. He's a guru. If you don't have the stuff, what are you going to do? Where is the pass rush going to come from now? I thought Barrett was having a whale of a game.
Yeah, he was. He was having a very nice game. Well, you know, next man up, you're talking to Anthony Nelson. Anthony Nelson could make himself quite a bit of money if he plays halfway decent. He's in a contract year. I know Steve's a big Anthony Nelson kind of guy. Joe Tryon, here's what I'll say about Joe Tryon. I love the guy. Great guy. But you know what? When are the Bucs going to come to their senses and realize he's a pass rushing specialist? He's terrible against the run. He doesn't contain. He's a liability on that field unless the other team is throwing the ball. Before Shaq's injury, you know, I was talking to another person who's a local sports personality in Tampa Bay area, and we were both saying the same thing, that you need to get Anthony Nelson out there more and Joe Tryon less, especially on rundowns. Passing downs, different story. Second and short, third and short, no Joe Tryon.
And by the way, I share Steve's opinion of Anthony Nelson. I think this guy could be he could be a very good player if given a chance. So here's his opportunity. You know, we poked holes at JPP last year, rightfully so. Very little factor on the pass rush, Steve. Very little factor, even before, you know, his injury, and he played through it. But, Steve, at least he was stout against the run on the right side. He was stout, even with his injury. Joe Tryon is not stout. No Ndamukong Suh. Where's Akeem Hicks? There's a drop there in terms of run defense. Devin White playing poor rush defense. So, Steve, some of these departures have hurt in very specific areas.
You offered a great rhetorical question. Where's Akeem Hicks? Now, you know, I can't kill a guy for being hurt, but let's not pretend that he didn't have that reputation. Same with Julio Jones. The free agent class this past year, I think it's fair to say D-. The only reason they don't get an F is Logan Ryan's been pretty good. Went before he got hurt, of course.
I don't think you're wrong.
My question is, I don't know how to say this delicately. Is this going to come back to bite Jason Light in the rear end?
My answer is I don't think so, because that gleaming trophy, Steve, in the Glazer case. That gives you street cred for years. You know, your main point about the 2022 offseason, and Steve, you might want to disagree. It doesn't take you much to disagree. They haven't panned out, Steve, for whatever reason, injuries, ineffectiveness. It has not been a good haul. But Light's done a lot of good things in the last 3 years. That Super Bowl goes a long, long way, bringing in Arians. The Glazers don't forget about that. So, Steve, I think he's going to get a chance to oversee the post-Brady scenario. I do.
I mean, I guess it depends how it plays out. I mean, we're 8 games in, half a season. So I'd probably give the free agents a D plus. I wouldn't go higher. I don't. What did Lee give them?
D minus.
I'd give them a D plus. But it's you got to see how it plays out. It is a full season, especially when you're talking about a general manager. Here's the bigger question, Ira, if you really want to even explore the state of Jason Light right now. I think the question comes down to who really made this decision on the head coach. You know, Bruce Arians, you could argue that he sold everybody a bunch of garbage because he downplayed his role and his influence and said, oh gosh, I don't even do anything. Now, was he telling that to the Glazers? Was he saying, oh man, it's all Byron, it's not me, and oh man, Todd oversees these guys, I barely even know this guy? And was he overselling his coaches to the Glazers? And for how long was he doing it? Yet meanwhile, it's obvious that he had a command of the team. And I've seen AQ Shipley talking about how Arians just knows how to push all the right buttons with coaches. He was an assistant coach, Shipley, as well as a player. And so I don't know. I mean, was Jason Light 100% behind Todd Bowles? I don't know. That may be part of an ultimate equation with Light that we would never know. So I'll throw that out there as an X factor. But, I mean, it all depends how it plays out here, but it depends what kind of head coach that they go for next. If Bowles was blown out, if you go after a big fish head coach, they might be like, Jason, we love you, our new guy. We're going to give him a 6-year deal. He wants his own GM, and we love you. Here you go.
Yeah, I think Arians' confidence in Bowles and Leftwich, I think it's genuine. I think he does truly believe that they can get the job done. Now, based on what we're seeing, we're very skeptical at this point, and we have every right to be. Every right to be. The tape don't lie.
No.
You know, and you've made your points clear about Leftwich. As far as what the future holds for Light, I think he's done enough in the minds of the Glazers, and that's all that counts, to earn credibility.
To be fair to Jason, he built the Super Bowl winner. Period. He built the Super Bowl winner. If it's not for Jason, Bruce Arians doesn't show up. If not for Bruce Arians, Brady doesn't show up, although Light was a factor in that as well. You know, there are fans out there that want to drag Jason through the streets. Well, not with their Bill Curry Ford pickup, because we know that Bill Curry wouldn't tolerate such things. But fans are fans, and there's a lot of people. We see the comments on our site. They're irate at Jason. And I'm thinking, well, you know, he built the Super Bowl winner. I remember Dumig talking about this. He had Joel Glazer, Steve Dumig had Joel Glazer, maybe it was Brian Glazer, one of the two, on his show once. You know, they have one of these backslapping, what do they call it, sneaker soiree. I don't even know if they still have it, where the owners of all the local teams get together. They sit around and bro hug each other and backslap each other and pour cognac. Brian Glazer spoke on the air with Dumig, and Glazer said something to the effect of, and I'm paraphrasing, if you want to go crazy with free agency, we'll do that, but you better hit on them. And if you want to go the slow route and go through the draft, we'll back you up. But if you're going to go the short route and spend a lot of money to get free agents, there better be results. And obviously the free agent results this year thus far have been very poor. And that's the only reason why I'm asking that.
It's going to be wide open for Jason Light. I think he's going to get the chance to try to reinvigorate this franchise. Of course, the big question is going to be under center going forward in 2023. And that answer might, give us all the other answers. But, Steve, it's fair to say, I said it, that after the 2018 season, Jason Light was hanging by a thread. And a very thin thread. Lee, you know that's accurate. And when Dirk Cutter got the axe, Light was right there next in line. And the next thing you know, here comes Bruce Arians. Without that single act, Lee, I don't think Light makes it. But we know what the recent history is. I think he will get the chance to orchestrate what the future holds for the Bucks, and we'll see if he can pull it off. There's no guarantee he can't.
I mean, you know, he's already proven he can. So who says he can't do it a second time?
Yeah, Ira, it's all premature. It all depends how the season plays out. I mean, anything can happen. A GM isn't graded after 6 or 7 games, and he's not there coaching. I think Light would have a little more fire than Todd Bowles on the sideline. I think he'd be he'd be hospitalized at this point if he were in charge of coaching the roster.
Steve, along those lines, and I used to ask Jason like this in 2017, 2018, because, you know, the Bucks under Cutter were not awful, but it didn't end well. And towards the end, Lee, I would ask Clyde about the coaching staff. Do you think they're getting the best out of the draft picks and the best out of this roster? And he wouldn't go there, Lee. And I respected it, but I had to ask the question. He wouldn't rip Cutter and Cutter's staff. And, Lee, we didn't like that staff. We didn't, for the most part.
We liked the guys. We didn't like the coach.
Yeah. And
I mean, Cutter's, don't get me wrong, Cutter we liked. But what I'm saying is, you know, we liked Mike Smith, but we sure didn't like the way he coached.
I got a little mad at Cutter when he canceled our hangout with Todd Monken and told Monken he's not allowed to hang out with us. I didn't like that. I'll admit, I didn't like that.
I remember that, Steve. So what I'm saying is you wonder what Jason Light is thinking right now about the coaching staff. And it's interesting.
I'll tell you what he's thinking, Ira. He knows that they're sucking it up big time. That's just what we're all watching. This is a team that was 22-5 entering this season on a 22-5 run. Now they're 3-5. And they can't get out of their own way, including all phases of the game other than the actual kickers. I mean, what was that nonsense to start the game? Dee Delaney running into the you know, I mean, that's just bad. I mean, the rule is screwy where the guys, it's too much interpretation where the referee's allowed to use his discretion as far as whether the guy's pushed into the back of the, pushed in the back and shoved into the punt return guy. But I mean, what a mess that was. And they're not very good on special teams. And
don't put that one on Darden, Lee. That wasn't Darden's fault.
No, it was
Delaney. I mean, how stupid can you be? That was like, I just couldn't believe when I was watching. That's Keystone Cops kind of crap.
I'm assuming that Darden's out there just like a baseball player would, yelling that he's got a fair catch, you know?
Yeah.
On top of that, but anyway, I mean, it's just bad. I think Light sees that. Look, some of the position coaches, sure, are doing a really nice job, but overall, it's lousy. It's terrible. Terrible. Light knows this roster is better than what they're doing.
He's not going to say it publicly, though, Steve.
No.
He won't. We know that.
All right, Ira, look, the important questions are for fans. I'll hit you with this. You can give me a short answer. Do you think Byron Leftwich is the play caller for the next game?
Yes.
Do you think Byron Leftwich, if the team continues to struggle offensively, let's say they have 2 more games the way they just did, is he the play caller after the bye week?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
All right. So you think they stick with him? And, you know, as we'll see how the season progresses otherwise, do you think they do something drastic on special teams? Maybe something just to sort of scare the roster a little bit, tell Keith Armstrong to leave, and Keith Tandy gets promoted from assistant special teams coach?
I just don't think Bowl strikes me that way. I know people might say, well, maybe it's not Bowles' decision. Maybe it's not.
It's Arians' decision?
No. I'm talking about the Glazers, you know, ordering a change. And I don't mean Bowles' level. I mean on his staff. Barring pressure from the Glazers, I don't think Bowles is inclined to make a change during a season. Now, next year is a whole different ball of wax, assuming that Bowles is still here.
That's just it. You got Tom Brady, very likely in his final year. Entering the season, you always heard, all in this year. And if Bowles isn't motivated to do something drastic to save this season, I don't know if I want the guy back. And I don't want to see him get fired, but gosh darn, if you're ever going to make a change, this is it. And if you're just going to let this season willow away and you know, sit back and, you know, cross your fingers and hope by and left, which changes. What an opportunity you're throwing away. What an opportunity. Because like Steve always points out, this is a horrible division. The Bucks are hardly out of it. I mean, forget about a wild card. That's ridiculous. But they can still win this division. Man. Now, I'm like you, Ira. I don't expect Leftwich to be back next year. I'm not saying he's getting a head coaching job. I think Bowles will make a change then. But if Bowles will never have another Tom Brady at quarterback with the Bucks, I'll just say that flat out right now. They're not going to get anybody in a trade that's better than Brady. And so if you're not going to, you know, do whatever you can to salvage this season, man, if I'm a Glazer, I don't know if I want this guy back.
Maybe Bowles takes a more active role, Steve, in telling Leftwich what he wants.
Well, he implied that he wants to run the ball more, which I got a little sick after that, Ira. So I didn't know what to, I don't know what to think at this point. I mean, if the Glazers are going to get involved, I think it's on the level that Lee's referring to, which is, hey, it's an all-in season, probably the last with Tom Brady, and we went all in, and we're not going to stop being all in because it's November 5th and we don't like the way we're playing. We got to go all out, which means making changes that might upset some people. And if that's getting rid of Byron Leftwich and firing him because the Glazers fire him and they sit around and say, hey, look, if we fire Byron, maybe that lights a fire under Bruce to step in and help out Bowles to save his job and call the plays and work it out with Tom for a final 8 weeks here. I don't know, but I can't imagine the Glazers just want to sit around and worry about it next year. I mean, that would just suck for all the fans and everybody else. But then there's the X factor that we'll never know is whether they've even talked about this already. And Tom Brady said, I like Byron. I want him here. He's my best person to work with to figure this out.
You know, if that's the question, Steve, if that's the case, if I was the Glazers, I'd say, well, then I want you to re-up your contract. Commit. If you want us to commit to Leftwich because you like him, then you got to commit to us.
And maybe he said, I'll think about it. You know, I mean,
that's not good enough.
Sure.
That's not good enough. He's got to commit, period.
Now, Lee, here's a scenario and a good one to end the show on, Stevie. We don't want to think about it. We don't want to think about it. But, Lee, it's not crazy. It's not crazy from what we've seen the past 6 weeks. It's not crazy, Lee. Suppose they're out of the division chase with 2-3 games remaining. I mean, it's not crazy. Suppose Atlanta gets hot. Suppose Atlanta gets hot. The Bucks are 5-9. Not crazy. 5-9. 5-10. Lee, at that point, you got to be thinking about who's going to quarterback this team next year. And you got to be thinking about the draft.
You got to be thinking about who's going to coach the team.
They were thinking about that this summer. I can't imagine they haven't already had more than a couple of discussions in a conference room. What are we going to do about quarterback next year? To wait until December, that's irresponsible.
Lee, they would never imagine they would have a top 10 draft pick.
Well, no, but I mean, you still got to plan for next year. Now, whether that's Kyle Trask, whether that's Gabbert, if it's going to be a top 10 pick, that's even better. You can make a play for C.J. Stroud. But, I mean, I just can't imagine that nowhere in that building have they not had at least one discussion. What are we going to do about quarterback next year? That's just to suggest or imply that that's never happened. That's really irresponsible. Not just Light, but any GM. When you talk to them about the next draft, they're already looking at a year and a half ahead. They're already looking at sophomores and juniors.
Steve, all I'm saying, Steve, is in all these planning sessions, they certainly didn't think about the possibility of having a premium draft pick.
Yes,
that wasn't discussed.
Ira, you're right. I don't think they had a meeting that said, well, if we're picking in the top 11, you know, I don't think that happened. I agree with you wholeheartedly. So it changes the whole landscape of everything. But if Todd Bowles goes 6-11, if he's the coach next year, Ira, I'm going to have a stroke. It's just an insult to everybody if that's the case. It's okay to be a bad coach. You move on. You find a new one. That's all. It's just that simple.
Steve, I can't argue with what you said, Steve. I can't argue with
you. We thank Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com, Florida's elite restoration. Your first phone call if you have a disaster in your home or business, which we heard about, Florida's Elite Restoration.com. It's so nice to have someone you can trust 24/7. And drink your Big Storm beer. Try it this week and make this the weekend that you try Big Storm beer, Florida's best craft beer. Just look for it where you get your craft beer, Big Storm beer. Ira Lee wrote it up. It's just a simple nugget. It needs no elaboration. The Buccaneers, before the game the other night, they're on pace for the worst rushing attack in over 50 years of football at 64 yards per game, and that dropped after getting 40-something against the Ravens. So you talk about balance. We don't want to strive for balance, but this is out of control when you got the worst running game in the history of modern football. So that's pretty darn bad, Ira. And it's just
and Steve, it goes to the one quality that Bowles doesn't want to address right now: toughness, Lee. Toughness.
Yeah.
Yep. And it also goes to him saying before the season that he wants to run the ball more. So, I mean, that's a massive failed goal if that's the case.
I might hit the pickleball court. How do you like that, Lee? A little pickleball.
In football season, you're going to give up a Sunday of afternoon football?
Well, I need the exercise, Lee.
Can't do that at 10 o'clock in the morning?
I just saw myself in the mirror. I'm hitting the pickleball court hard, and I may not be back till dusk.
Well, you know what?
What I plan on doing, swilling so many beers I can't count so high and soaking in a full afternoon of football and not have to worry about Byron Leftwich.
All right, Ira, good luck on the pickleball court. And you know what? If you have a little shoulder thing, no excuse. You got to come to work on Monday.